You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Good morning. I am Sheila. Together with my husband, Bert, we're the lead pastors here at Every Nation Greater Toronto Area, for those of you I have not met yet. I'm super excited because I get to close out our series on being all in. And I'm super excited because it's one of my favorite things to talk about. So, yes, being all in, but our culture of reproducing. So as we get started today, we're going to recap the last 5 weeks in light of these words of the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote a good portion of the New Testament, the letters that were giving direction to the church in the first century. And here's something he said confidently. He said, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Or other translations say, "Pattern yourself after me. Be followers of me. Follow my example just like I follow Christ's." So Paul followed the example of Jesus and exhorts us to do the same. What did Jesus do? And are we, as we set forth our values in this church, as we say, here are the things that we embrace and what we want this community to look like, are we imitating Christ? Well, I believe we are. And let's, by way of review, I'm going to put a picture up on the screen with a whole lot of information. Don't look everything up. Just pull out that smartphone that's in your pocket and take a picture. Okay, building a culture of engaging was the first series, the first of the week being an outward focused church. And was Jesus outward focused? Well, here's what he said about himself. He said, "Even as the Son of Man," talking about himself, "even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus came here with the very purpose, came to this earth with the very purpose of looking outward to all those who needed God. And then he said to his disciples, he said to his followers, and those words are for us today, and Bert spoke about this the first week. He said, "If anybody wants to come after me, here's what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to deny himself, daily take up his own cross and follow me." So did Jesus build a culture of being outward focused? Yes, he did. Then a culture of belonging was a second in our series. Interesting thing here, a culture of belonging, a belonging church. You know, when we look at Jesus' group of people that he drew together, they followed him around for 3+ years. And at the end of his life, when he died and he was raised from the dead, but before he went to be with the Father, and they weren't exactly sure, these people who had walked with him weren't exactly sure what the future held. But here's an interesting passage in the book of John. So here's some of the men who walked with him: Simon Peter and Thomas and Nathanael and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples were together. When all else was still uncertain, they weren't sure what life was going to look like. They were still together. They stuck together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said, "We will go with you." He created that community, that culture of belonging with his disciples. How about a culture of growth? Or we say disciple making. When Jesus called people to follow him, we actually use that term. We call them disciples, or the learned ones. And Mark chapter 3 says he appointed the 12, whom he also named apostles, that they might come to him and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. He brought them to himself that they would learn of him, and then he sent them out. He made disciples. How about leader producing? A culture of influencing was week number 4. After Jesus died, rose, and went back to be with the Father, then his disciples were going around and bringing the good news in the life of Jesus. And interesting place in Acts chapter 4 says, "Now when they," the Pharisees and the people who were against Jesus and all that he represented, "now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and they perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. These were uneducated, common men. But after 3+ years of walking life with Jesus, when their boldness and their confidence and their even eloquence to speak the word of God, they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Jesus produced leaders that changed the world. Finally, last week, Bert talked about the culture of generosity. I don't know if you ever wondered how Jesus ate and paid his bills. Here's a great passage from the book of Luke. Soon afterward, he, being Jesus, went through the cities and villages, proclaiming and preaching the good news of the kingdom. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, whom 7 demons had gotten out of, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others, who provided for them out of their means. Those who were following Jesus, what was going to be the very seed of the church, the generosity that was in their heart, that what did they do? They provided for the needs out of their own means. So our final message is being all in a culture of reproducing. Reproduction was set in motion in creation. It says in Genesis that God blessed them, his creation, man and woman. He blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. Fill the earth, reproduce. Trees reproduced after their kind and animals reproduced after theirs. And things that are healthy reproduce. Healthy animals, healthy plants, healthy people. The same goes for healthy churches. Healthy churches reproduce. Healthy churches birth other churches. Healthy churches see people, new people come to faith and be trained and discipled and sent forth as leaders into our cities and our communities. So if we use those first 5 values, as we were talking about what this, the culture of our church, what our dream is it for it to be, if we use those as the health check, the pulse, the blood pressure, if we use those to measure the health of our church, and if we are healthy, then we'll reproduce. If we are engaging and attracting those outside the church, if we are growing and maturing in our faith as individuals and together, if this is a place of acceptance where people walk in the door and feel like they can belong and they can grow and change and grow in their spiritual lives, if people know they're valued here, if we each grow in our gifts and our influence and our leadership, if we're overflowing with generosity and are pouring resources into the kingdom, we can be assured that we'll reproduce. So we take those first 5 things and the natural thing that's going to come in for this church and for other churches in the city, as we're healthy, we will reproduce. Let's look at the final words of Jesus. You know, people write books on the deathbed confessions of people or the final words that they spoke. And there's websites if ever you just want to entertain yourself and you have nothing else to do. There are websites, lists of the final sentence or the final words people spoke in their lives. But there's significance to that. So these are the final words of Jesus after his death and resurrection, right before he went to be with the Father. This was his admonition. This was his charge. This was his commission to his followers on earth at that time and to each of us. We call this the Great Commission, what Jesus has committed to us. Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That was Matthew's writing. Luke repeated much the same thing two times, first in the end of the gospel according to Luke, but then Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And so he recapped, maybe in different words, this same moment in time in the first chapter of the book of Acts. I'm just going to read two verses. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit that God had promised to send when Jesus was gone, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, which was right where they were right then, in Judea, which was the land around them, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And we said these things as they were looking. He was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. So the last thing that Jesus said to us, his final words to those people and to us today was, take what you have, take what you've learned from me, take what you have and go and spread this message and this life and this journey with God where you are and to the world. Okay, this is fun. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about me, because I never imagined what the last 35 years of my life would be like. What an adventure it would be. How much fun. Lots of challenges. I'm going to talk about me. Then, not to worry, I'm going to talk about you. And then I'm going to talk about us together. But first I'm going to talk about me and tell you what my life looked like. Holding on to these words, what it looked like for me to be part of a church planting world and culture and embracing this life that God wants us to reproduce. I have this photo collage that Bert was nice enough to create for me. Yeah. We'll leave this up here for a while so you can just look and enjoy and laugh if you want to. I like the perm in the corner by the University of Calgary and the makeup, the mime makeup. Okay, so my story. I came to faith. I lived in Kitchener-Waterloo, born and raised. I came to faith in my teenage years. When I was 18, 19 years old, I was sitting in a church much like this at the University of Waterloo. I wasn't a student there, but I went to church there. And I was a student here in Toronto. And I began to hear things like this. We used to sing this little chorus, and the chorus said, "You're not your own." No. I am not my own. I was bought with a price. I was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And then I read my Bible, and I realized, actually, that's in Corinthians and Galatians. That's Paul talks about that. You are not your own. You were bought with a price, so glorify God. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I began to understand that as I came to faith in Christ, I was not my own. I also heard things like this. Yes, what we read today, that God had a plan for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I heard things like this from Numbers chapter 14. As surely as I live, says the Lord, the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And at 20 years old, at 19 years old and at 20 years old, I decided that I was going to be all in. In light of what Christ has done for me, God, by your grace, I want to live a life that's all in. So when I was 20, I joined a church planting team. I was sitting in a church like this, and I heard our pastor get up and say, "We're looking for 10 to 12 people to move from Kitchener-Waterloo to Vancouver, British Columbia, to just trust that we could start a church with students at the University of British Columbia." So that in that mime makeup there, I was actually a campus missionary, a campus minister, and we did things on campus that now I look back and go, oh my goodness. But you know, we did things to present the gospel in creative ways. That was a long time ago. I don't know what, anyway. But I moved to Vancouver and things happened in Vancouver. And people, students came to faith, and one of them was my husband, and I married this guy, and he was all in. And, you know, after we were married, I remember the first year we were married, we were at a student conference, and everybody at that conference, and there were a few thousand people on our knees praying, assuming that because Jesus drew us to himself, he was going to send us somewhere. So we're there praying on our knees together, saying, what country do you have for us, God? What land in the world are you going to send us to? We thought it might be really far away. We thought maybe Europe. It was far, but not that far. But I married a guy who had that same thing in his heart to me. Let's be all in. And whatever it is that God's called and created us for, let's start this adventure together. Little did I know. So Vancouver, you know, out of that church in Vancouver, it was a little church, but two churches were birthed. Because healthy things reproduced. One church was in Edmonton. Really good friends of ours still pastor that church in Edmonton. They have 1,000+ people coming on a Sunday morning. And one church, hey, the guys who planted it were Bert and I. So up we went with our two very small children. See that little house in the bottom corner? We moved with our tiny kids. And we moved to Calgary, and that was our church planting team. Bert and Sheila and Daniel and Catherine and one other couple. And then it started to grow. The picture above it was our first little group of students and young adults meeting in our home. And that church grew, and it's still there today, and it's been so fun. And it's so fun to reconnect with people whose lives were touched during that season of our life and say, thank you, Lord. We see reproduction. We see lives that are different because we were willing to say, okay, I'll be all in, God, for what you've created and called me to be. You know, out of that church, our first group was almost all international students. Lots of Asians. Look around. Lots of Asians. But, you know, our dear Asian friends, oh, I cried when I drove them to the airport to send them home back to their countries. And yet some of those couples today are in full-time ministry or have been parts of church planting in the countries that they went back to. Because life begets life. Churches are planted. Lives are changed. Other way around. Lives are changed. Churches are planted. So Calgary. A church was birthed there. You know, to this day, that church sends missions teams. Right this minute, they have a missions team in Sierra Leone. They go in with leadership training and medical missions. They send missions teams all over the world, literally, from that church. Also out of that church, our first campus minister is a pastor in Ottawa. He married and had kids, and then he had in his heart it was time to be a church planter. And he and his wife and their three children moved to Ottawa. Bert helped them get started, and they planted a church there. And they've been there about 5 years, and it's great to see what God's doing there out of life begetting life, life bringing life. Well, we thought we might live in Calgary the rest of our lives. I did. I didn't realize. I thought, oh man, if I had known how many times in my life God would move me to a different place, I would have taken more moving truck pictures. Because I could have put about 3 more moving truck pictures up there if we had had the sense to take them. If I had known how many times I would change locations geographically. Well, our season in Calgary ended, and we moved to Nashville, Tennessee. Not exactly sure why, but I remember standing in my kitchen. We had 3 kids by this point. We uprooted them, and I remember standing in my kitchen in this little apartment. I had left my really cute house behind that, the van with the, we had such a cute little house. And I left it, and I'm standing in an apartment with my 3 children around, and I'm in the kitchen. And I have one of those moments, you know, those moments where you just go, okay, God, this isn't about me. And the scripture that came to my head that day, I remember so clearly, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. And I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And I just said, I surrender once again, Lord, I surrender again. I would rather just have that inkling that I'm in the center of your will, even if it means sometimes my life isn't going to look like what I thought a year or 2 years or 10 years before it might look like. But it's been an adventure, and it's been fun. You know, out of our time in Nashville, lots of things happened. We were part of a great church there, great Every Nation church. And out of that church, too many stories to tell, but You know, we had been there about a year. So here I am, I'm resettling and I'm making friends. And I know maybe girls, I needed friends to move to a new city. I needed friends to feel connected. And I'd started to make friends. And lo and behold, it was time for that church to start a church in Auckland, New Zealand. And so some of the people that I was starting to be friends with were called to go to another place. And I had to say goodbye, you know, saying goodbye to friends who are following what God's called them to do sometimes is just as hard as packing that moving truck and moving yourself. But it's fun to be used and see God change the world. Out of that church in Auckland, we have more churches in New Zealand and Australia, the South Pacific, Every Nation churches, and it's wonderful. Other things out of that church, you know, out of that church, we birthed a church in New York City. You know, some of you were probably pretty young in September 11th, 2001. But when the towers came down, because our church in Nashville had been discipling people and raising up leaders, and it was a financially generous church and whatever the other two were that can't come to my head of that culture that we want to create here. When those towers fell down, the first thing our pastor said was, how can we start a church in New York City? Look at the need. Let's figure out how to do this. And people said, here I am, send me. I'll go and be a part of it. And other people said, I can't go, but I'm going to pull out my checkbook before the days of online giving, and I'm going to write a check, and I'm going to figure out. And somebody else said, I have a friend who has a place where you can meet. And because we were ready and we had in our hearts, if there's a place that we need to go and we had trained up leaders, let's send and let's touch New York. And today we have 4 Every Nation churches in New York City birthed out of our church in Nashville, Tennessee. Other things happened. Well, it came time for us to do this again. And really, I thought I was done. I had moved a lot of times in life. So when the thought, Bert and I were approached to come and lead this work here in Toronto. And I said, they're out of their minds. I'm tired. I'm too old for this. But you know, when I was 19, I said, God, I'm all in my life. I'm not my own. I was bought with a price. So the only thing I could do was respond and say, here we go. Let's go. But in conclusion of this little part, talking about me, I said, if we're going to continue this adventure in our life, then I'm really happy to go and see one church launched in the city of Toronto, but not just one church. Let's just believe in this grand adventure that this can be a church planting church, that out of this church in the heart of Toronto, we can see things happen first at the University of Toronto. And then how about the other campuses in our city and maybe the other campuses in our province? Do you know that there are more than 800,000 college and university students in Southern Ontario? How do I know that? Because I added them up and I keep them in my phone to dream and say, out of our church, could we maybe believe to have campus ministries on more than one university campus in Southern Ontario? So I said, okay, I'm willing, Bert. I'm going to come with you on this adventure one more step. I'm all in. Here we go. My life's not my own. But let's believe that Every Nation Greater Toronto Area can be a church that reproduces, that other things can be birthed out of this. Let's believe. So how about you? Since I've talked about me, how about you? What's your story? I've noticed in life that a lot of times we have one idea or plan and we think we're moving somewhere to do a certain thing and it's all good and we move ahead and then God changes the direction. I was listening this week to Genesis and the story about Joseph and all the nasty things he did and his brothers did to him and how his life unfolded and ending up in prison, but then ending up as like the prime minister of Egypt. And he said, to his brothers when the family was finally brought back together again, he said, you meant all that for evil, but God meant it for good. And I think there's lots of places, first in the Bible and then in our lives, where maybe something wasn't meant for evil, but we meant one thing. We were thinking one thing Maybe you moved to Toronto for one reason, and you're going to find out as life unfolds that God has a greater purpose for you here. So what's your story? Our pastor, Rice Brooks, he's been our pastor for a super long time. And one of his quotes, kind of comical, but God did not save you so you could watch television in a good mood. You know, sometimes we think we come to faith, and usually when we first make those first steps of faith in our spiritual journey, it's about us. It's about the deep need in our soul. But it's not long before we realize that God has more in mind than just me and you and our lives. That he wants to reproduce what he does in us. He wants to use us to reproduce in the lives of others. He didn't just save you to watch TV in a good mood. A couple years ago, the first installment of the Hobbit series came out. There are words that I have listened to time and time again. I play it. I go to YouTube and I play this section. Because Bilbo Baggins said something. If you haven't seen this movie, this part makes you cry. It might, especially when I explain it to you. Bilbo Baggins has got the ring and he disappears and they're running from something, goblins or orcs or who knows, some bad guys. And Bilbo Baggins has the ring that makes him invisible and he slides it on and he disappears and none of his dwarf friends or Gandalf can figure out where he is. And then he hears them talking about him. And he takes the ring off and he reappears and he joins his band of brothers. And Thorin, who's the head dwarf guy, he's always doubted Bilbo. He's always doubted this little hobbit. And here's what Bilbo says. Look, I know you doubt me. I know you always have. And you're right. I often think of Bag End. I miss my books and my armchair and my garden. See, that's where I belong, my home. That's why I came back. Because you don't have one, a home. It was taken for you. But I will help you get it back if I can. Now, is that not the gospel? Is that not the good news? Is that not Christianity? God gives us lots of things, whatever they may be, as we come to faith, the peace that we have, the things in our lives that are our home. And sometimes it would just be easy to, you know, kind of snuggle back in our spiritual armchair and live our good Christian life. But we're called to be like Bilbo Baggins. As long as there's people out there who don't have a home, who don't have a spiritual clarity in their life, who have never experienced our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as long as that's the case, then my words are going to be like Bilbo's. As long as there's people out there who don't have a home, whose home was, who've never experienced what we have, I'm going to help them find it. You know, the enemy of a reproducing church is comfort. And we live in a nation that it's easy to have a comfortable life. It's easy to sink into that armchair of, as we get, you know, a good job and we're making some money and we can have vacations. And none of those are bad things. We can be so comfortable that we can be lulled into kind of a dullness and a sleepiness and forget Jesus' final words. Wait a minute here. Go into all the world and make disciples. The enemy of a reproducing church can be comfort. Well, it might mean sacrificing a few of our comforts. But as long as there are people without a home, we have a job to do. Some of us will go. Some of us will send. It'll cost each of us something. I want to talk to just a few of you here. And I think this isn't for everybody, but this is for a few of you. And I think when I talk about this, you're going to know this is me. You know, Bert and I have been, in life, have made a lot of geographic moves. And that's not necessarily what God has called or created everyone to do. Bert and I have our God's purpose for us in life is that we would serve God in a full-time capacity in ministry. Me, before I even knew Bert, in campus ministry, but us as a married couple. And If there's some of you here today who you've known or you know that what God has for you, it might need a geographic move. It might be, there might be a country in your heart that you know one day you're supposed to go to. It might be a city in Canada. I have a friend who from the time she was 9 years old, and who knows, inexplicably, a little 9-year-old girl, she had a love for all things Russian. She wanted to learn the Russian language, and she loved Russian literature, and she was reading Russian literature far beyond her comprehension, and something deep in her heart, she had this love for Russia, inexplicable. She came to faith as a college student, and the lights came on, and her husband have spent most of their lives serving in the nations in Eastern Europe. But that was birthed in her heart from the time she was a little girl, inexplicably. Well, maybe there is an explanation. Maybe it's something God's put in their soul and in her heart. And I know in a crowd like this that there are people sitting here. Oh, maybe it's a handful who have known maybe since you were a little kid, maybe you've resisted it. Maybe it was just when you came to faith, you thought, I thought I was going to school to become an engineer or a nurse, and yet I know that the purpose that God has for me is something else. We want to see you become all that God has you to be. We want to nurture that dream that's in your heart and see you released to go to those places that God has called you. Some of us are going to go. Some of us are going to send. We're going to dig a little deeper in our own personal pocketbook and put a little more money to funding a missionary or to planting a new church. I dream about the University of Waterloo. That would be becoming full circle for me. That's where God radically changed my life. I'd love to have every nation Waterloo. Anybody want to come with me? Don't all volunteer at once. But you know, there's me and there's you and then there's we. Because this thing's a team sport. It's not just about what individuals are supposed to do. It's not, this isn't like badminton or tennis. This is like football or basketball. Basketball or hockey. This is a team sport. Every one of us has a position and a place to play and to build. This is about we. This is about what God's called us to do. I read to you from Matthew chapter 28. He was talking, when Jesus said those final words, he was talking to a group of men. He was, talking to us as individuals, but talking to a group of men saying, here's what I have for you to do. Go together. We're better together. We're stronger. We can do so much more when everybody does their part. So God has a plan and purpose for you because God has a plan and purpose for us, his church. Because God has a plan and purpose for us, his church, and you're part of his church, he has a plan and purpose for you. It goes around in circles. He has a plan for you because he has a plan, and his plan includes his church. And because you're part of his church, he has a plan for you. And what's his plan? What are we going to do? Where are we going to go for here? Well, the first thing we're going to do are those first five things. We're going to grow in our faith as disciples. We're going to encourage one another in our leadership and train up leaders. We're going to learn to be generous like we've never been generous before. We're going to step out and give more money in 2016 than 15, 14, 13. Who knows? We are going to build together at Every Nation GTA that we have that the resource. Hey, look, there's we are. What are we going to do together? We're going to pray together. We're going to make disciples. We're going to train leaders. We're going to give generously. We're going to pray for this city, this nation, and this province. If you have a nation in your heart, we're going to pray together with you for that country and that nation. We're going to pray that God will do the things he needs to do in your lives to send you to the places that he has for you to go. We're going to assume that if we can see the health of this church grow, the natural thing that's going to happen. Are you looking for yourselves in there? Yeah, you are, aren't you? You're not even listening to me. You're looking for yourself. Are my eyes open? Am I smiling? Oh, look at, okay. You know what? All of us together, and those of you who are new here, this was our Christmas party. We are going to assume that out of the health of this church, we're going to reproduce. And what might that be? It might be another service in another part of the city. It might be a new campus ministry. It might be a new, I would just like to think maybe we could just take over Southern Ontario and plant Every Nation churches in all the major cities and campuses in Southern Ontario. We're going to dream together. We are going to grow together. And we are going to go and make disciples and plant and birth churches. This is about what we're called to do, make disciples. So, here we go, in closing. You know, the great commission that God gave us, the great direction that Jesus gave us in his final words, was also the greatest promise. The great commission, that passage of Matthew, is also the greatest promise. Because when Jesus said to the disciples, okay, all authority's been given to me. You've been with me a long time. You've heard and seen a lot of things. You've watched me. You've watched how I interact. You've heard my messages to people. Here we go. Now what I've put into you, you're going to take and make disciples in the rest of the world. He said, go, make disciples, baptize, teach people to observe. And then Jesus said this, in light of the great commission, in light of what he's called us to do, he gave us the greatest promise. He said, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So as we go and follow that mandate that Christ put into our hands and hearts, as we go and do those things, we have the greatest promise of all time that whether it is to move somewhere different, whether it is to step out of what you're comfortable doing, whether it is even just today when we walk out of this room to shake hands with a stranger and make conversation, we have this assurance that as we go and do what God's created and called us to do, that Jesus said he'd be with us for all time, always, to the end of the age. The Great Commission, what God's called us to do, is right there with the greatest promise he ever gave us, to be with us always. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, what a grand adventure you have called us to. First, that you would love us and, oh, change our lives in ways we never dreamed. But then you have put into our hands and our hearts and even our minds, ideas and ways that we can go out and spread this good news, your love to the world around us. That's what you called and created us to do. And it is a grand adventure, and we are glad to be a part of it. And we do pray that Every Nation, Greater Toronto Area, would birth lots of new believers and new churches, and that we would even just be able to dare to believe that we could have a part in bringing the good news of Jesus to our city, to our nation, and to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.